Nothing. All right, we're good.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the July meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown, as well as online via Zoom. If you wish to speak on any of the items on the agenda, if you would hit the chat function and let Doug know, then he will let me know when we get to that.
The email didn't come in.
Roll call, Director Reynolds.
Here.
Director Lusk.
Here.
Director Nave.
Here.
Director Watts is not here. Director Micah.
Here.
Director Wilson.
Here.
Director Berkeley.
Here.
And I'm here. We do have a quorum. Ready, please stand and join me in the pledges of the flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Doug, do we have anybody signed up for public comment on just general comments?
We do not.
Okay. And show we're going to open the public hearings at 5:01. Item one, receive any public comments and requests, contests, and general manager's reports and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum track requirements. Applicant is American Underwater Services, LLC, out of Crescent, and operating permit 200-P18911 East U.S. Highway 377 Crescent. Doug?
Sir. First of all, just up on everyone, operator rule 2.9 says for an operating permit, shall approve the permit in the lesser of the non-speculative amount or the applicable annual production allowable per contiguous acre. This is a pretty straightforward, pretty simple one. American Underwater Services is a small, commercial operation there in Crescent. They currently operate one well and they're looking to drill a second well. Most of the water would be used, Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, would be for cleaning their vehicles, correct? And Kyle, what is, for the board, what is it that if they're curious, what does American Underwater Services do?
They do a bunch of like underwater, like dredging.
So they're proposed to drill well 19599. It's a 10 gallon a minute well. They already operate a 15 gallon a minute well, so this makes them a non-exempt system. So it's over 1736 for the system. 280 foot depth, 4-inch casing, a horse and a half pump. Meets all spacing requirement, as you can see. Let me turn on my laser. Come on now.
Blue dot in the lower left is the existing well?
Yes, sir. That's the existing well here. And they're proposing to drill a well here. I think there's some issue with piping it over. Wasn't that correct, Kyle?
That's correct. There's kind of like a creek.
Kind of like a, yeah. And rather than piping it, they just wanted to drill a new well. Meets all spacing, so that's not an issue. It's a small well. For as far as allocation, you know, we look at the applicant's property multiplied by the thickness of the aquifer or the depth of the well, whichever is less, by a factor of 500. That comes out to, with their 6.749 acres, 280-foot well, comes out to just under 1 million gallons a year they could get. They're only asking for 90,000 gallons a year. And that's based on 15,000 gallons use for inside. There's just a few employees, so that's bathrooms. And then for outside usage, they expect to use approximately 150 gallons per equipment wash with about 500 washes per year. So this is going to be one of our smaller permits. Very straightforward, well within what they're what they can be allocated. With that, I take any questions, but my recommendation is a motion to approve it as presented in the amount of
location. Is there anything close to a septic tank or anything that was looked or any kind of contamination for fuel or anything else?
No, all that has to be, it would have to be spaced away from all that stuff anyway. So no.
Any other questions for the general manager?
Make a motion. We accept his recommendation.
Have a direct motion by Director Berkley to accept the general manager's recommendation. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Director Mike, I think, was first. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And show the public hearing closed at 5:05. Consent agenda, which are normal and customary non-controversial items. Any director can pull any item off the agenda for consideration separately. This month includes minutes from the regular board meeting and public hearing on June 29th, approval of bank statement ending June 30th, payment of bills and invoices received through July 20th, reimbursement expenses incurred on behalf of the district through July 20th, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through July 20th. Doug, since we're 6 months in the year, just had a question on finances. We pretty well seem to be on track for the year.
Correct.
Okay.
There's a couple items that I think we'll probably amend later on, but we're doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Revenues are whereas we're down in one area, we're up in another.
Right.
What I noticed. So.
I got a expense report from Director Micah for 8646 to add to the consent agenda, Tracy.
Okay. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the addition of the expense report from Director Micah.
So move.
Motion by Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
Second
by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. Item three, board consideration and possible approval of quarterly investment report with recommendations. Doug?
Yes, sir. Got investment report up in front of you. It is nice. As some of these CDs mature, we're getting of course, we've opened that ICS account, and I've talked to Director Berkley about that, and I'm looking at a couple things, but it's at 5.1%. And as we come, any CDs are maturing, if they offer us something better than what the ICS account is, I'm just renewing the CD. If it's less than that, I'm moving into that ICS account, and we may shop some CDs, but no real recommendations right now. Just recommendation to approval of the quarterly report.
Any questions to the general manager as our investment officer? Chair would entertain a motion to approve the quarterly investment report.
I'll move.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Director Wilson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item four, discussion regarding proposed amendments to the district's investment policy, including possible adoption of Resolution 23005, adopting an investment policy for the district and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. I don't know if y'all had a chance to look through it. I can pull it up if y'all want to look through it. The changes, it's up to you guys. Nothing substantial. Basically added a couple sections, clarifying, add a section about indemnification for myself or for the investment officer. There was some language in there, but I broke it out into a separate section. Added a section about safety of the principal in there. Added a section about public trust. And the only other thing I added in one of the sections under authorized investments where it talks about interest-bearing accounts, I clarified insured cash sweep service. Which little background I met, and I recently took an update to the my every 2 years I have to take four hours of investment public funds investment act training, and met with the attorney that was teaching that, and we were talking about the ICS account because it's a fairly new service, and he was like, yeah, that's totally allowable under the public funds, but he's like, you may want to clarify in your investment policy, which drove me to kind of look through and update some of this stuff, that it is authorized. And so I just very clearly stated in there. Everything else is, like I said, Brian or Jennifer with Brian's office has looked at it and I've okayed everything. If y'all want to look through it, I'm happy to pull it up or answer any questions if y'all had a chance to look at what I sent out. So.
Board, have any questions of Mr. Shaw on our investment policy changes? If not,
comment, it was riveting reading.
I'm sure it kept you up all night reading it.
It was.
Yeah. Well, what's fun is having to know what all's in there and dig and find things. But yes, it is. There was no substantial changes to it. It's just something we have to update, either update it or adopt it as it was every year. We have to do it annually. So.
Any further questions? Chair would entertain a motion to approve adoption of Resolution 23-005, which is adopting investment policy for the district.
I move.
Motion by Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
Okay.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Pardon me. Item 5, discussion regarding the appointment of the district's investment officer, including possible adoption of Resolution 22-006, designation of investment officer, and take necessary action. And as I recall, we do have to designate an investment officer, and since Doug came on board, we've made it him.
Yeah.
Unless some board member wants it or Doug wants to pass it off to somebody else.
Right.
No.
Well, and the reason this is on here is we're looking through all this stuff and we realized, so originally they had, the board had appointed an investment committee, and talking to Tracy, really the finance committee has always done that. And there was two of the four members on the investment committee under that previous resolution, 15002, which was the month I started, are no longer directors on the board. So rather than just appoint a new investment committee, I just updated this resolution to simply appoint an investment officer, and then the finance committee would continue to operate as the investment committee as it always has. So happy to answer any questions. But because two of the names on that previous resolution aren't on the board anymore, I thought it would be a good idea to update the resolution.
When we replaced those people on the finance committee, the chair failed to remember we needed to change the investment.
Yeah, the investment officer failed to remember that too.
Yeah, we both did. This is more expeditious. The finance committee basically has always served there. And as with all the other committee assignments, that's just appointed by the chairman.
Right.
So it's pretty simple. We don't have to do resolutions and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, chair would entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 23-006, which, by the way, also negates Resolution 15-002.
Correct. I added language in there that basically kills the previous resolution. But this supersedes that.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Director Lust. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Discussion regarding committees, this is board of directors, including possible appointments. Is the finance committee the only committee we're required to have?
Right. And so that's what I've got up here on the screen. And I went through the bylaws. Tracy and I had been talking about committees for a while. And, you know, we don't do a lot of work by committee. And so we'd gone back and forth as you know, do we need all these committees? Because, you know, the chair can assign them or appoint them on an as-needed basis. And so I looked in the bylaws, and the bylaws basically say that it says the president shall establish an audit or finance committee. So the only committee we have to have is the finance committee. In talking with Tracy, and I've mentioned this to Shannon too, my recommendation would be, and again, this is up to you guys and Tracy, my recommendation would be to establish finance committee and then establish maybe an executive committee. The executive committee could carry out the functions of what the policy and personnel committee had done in the past. And then, if we need a rules committee, if we need a well-monitored committee, or if we needed a special committee, that could be, I mean, it doesn't even take board meeting. Tracy could literally just, you know, call me and tell me I'm going to appoint this committee, email these folks and see if they'll serve on it. So that's kind of what we have been talking about.
Two committees I can recall in the last few years, and Mike and Shannon, correct me, have been the education committee has met on occasions, and the well monitoring committee,
right,
and primarily through email and
right
such.
And, you know, I would say if Doug sees a need for one or both, the one I could see almost standing all the time is Education Committee. Right. That's the other one.
Right. Excuse me, Tracy, but since we've started this grant program,
mm-hmm.
It may be that sometimes we may have to have a meeting called immediately.
Right.
And the Education Committee is one I think should do, especially when it's involved transportation and needs to where to go.
Well, in that
the grant committee is one in which we may not have to be standalone.
Right. And then the Education Committee, I mean, the grant committee was a separate committee from the Education Committee.
Yeah. But I, you think we can roll both purposes under one?
I do.
Roll the grants under the
I do. I mean, it's up to you guys. I mean, it's
other, you know, otherwise, you know, and you know, as we have needs on the other ones,
right.
But you know, unless we have to sit down and, like Doug said, the executive committee can do the rules and bylaws and bring it back to the board to make decisions. Right. The finance committee, but policy and personnel. I'll remind everybody, our only personnel authority is the appointment of the general manager,
which
the rest of the employees work at his discretion. So,
I have no problem. I'm just trying to make sure.
No, I agree that in my mind, the grant committee was pretty much the same people that were on the education committee.
I think there was one difference.
There was one difference, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can continue doing that,
okay.
and leave that one. I don't have a problem with that. But it, you know, otherwise, is, you know, if we're not going to use the committees on a regular basis, then we'll just use them when we need to.
Right.
And don't worry about designation until we get to that point.
But I do like the idea of an executive committee. You know, we could have a standing, you know, quarterly, bi-monthly meeting or something like that, Zoom call or whatever.
Which would be the three officers, right?
Yeah, that I would think so. Maybe one at large if you want to appoint one other person.
Thoughts from the board? I mean, it.
And we need the finance committee, and I think the idea of the executive committee is a good idea. Perhaps we have a grant or education committee if we're going to go year to year with the grants.
Right.
But those are, grant committee can almost be brought up when it's time for the grants
right.
to be reviewed and the okay. foundations made.
Right.
We're going to do a grant cycle again, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to start probably whenever. When did we release last year? Is October? When are we? Yeah, November. So, yeah.
And I can appoint that at that time. So, standing committee is the executive committee and finance committee. That work for everybody? With the understanding that at least once a year, there's going to be an education grant committee. That work for everybody?
You're going to not have a personnel committee.
I'm willing to listen to reason for it. I mean, I think
it doesn't cost anything to have it. Let's say a situation arises where Doug needs to counsel with the board. Maybe take the onus off of him.
Right.
I want to do it.
And that was my thinking of the purpose of the executive committee. But that's
and so long as it's
because what I'd like to do, and this is just me from, you know, what I would like is I would like an executive committee that, you know, we did meet regularly and hold, you know, kind of regularly stay on the same page.
As long as you have a sounding board and if that fits in those parameters, that's fine.
Yeah.
And haven't even crossed my mind in how many years, 9 years you've been here?
Something like that.
10 years. In the past, the chairman of the personnel committee has been the staff's contact if they had a problem with some of the district's administration. It doesn't change. The chairman can serve that purpose. So, now, if the executive committee is handling that, then we'll just shift that over. That work?
Hey.
You see any problems? I mean, You and I are the last ones left from that change, aren't we? Tim.
You've been arrested a long time.
No kidding. You know, and we can change this and adjust this if we see we have a need for something.
Well, and that's the great thing about the way the bylaws are written. I mean, it's literally the president, board president can assign a committee at any time, right?
We do not need to take action necessarily due to Greg.
No.
The understanding is the executive committee be the three officers. And if I choose a fourth at large,
right.
The finance committee. Mike, you willing to continue to serve as chair? I had Don, Shannon, and Jared on there. Does that work for you guys on the finance committee? Okay. Then we'll do that. And go that route. And remind me September meeting to get you names for the education grant committee.
Do we need to take action on the finance committee?
We just have to have one and I've it's now in the minutes I've designated.
Right. Yeah. We'll just put it in the minutes that Tracy designated.
I would hope that would suffice.
Right.
So, okay. Anything else on this?
No, sir.
Item 7, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules and take necessary action. Well, ID 18805 in Parker County, owned by Alan Loopy. Doug?
Yeah, I was hoping they'd be here. I don't think anyone online is related, maybe. So last fall, we got an application submitted to the district as a self-drilled owner application rather than a licensed driller. It was signed by the owner. Well, we've gotten a lot of these recently. It's worth noting that we've seen Eastern Wise County and in Northeastern Parker County, we've seen several applications come in signed by the owner. It's going to be a self-drilled. So in the state of Texas, a water well has to be drilled by a licensed water well driller or the owner of the land. But I mean, this is a sticking point. The owner of the land has to actually be actively drilling the well, not just present. They'd have to be the one on the rig, operating the rig. Kyle called and spoke to TDLR, and they did clarify that for him. So we received the application in October. Jenny noted it was a self-drilled owner application. However, the homeowner's builder had signed under the driller, not the homeowner. So she sent it back and told him that, hey, you know, in Texas, you can drill a well on your own property, but it's got to be the owner. The home builder doesn't count. So they sent back a copy of the application signed by the homeowner. Application was approved a few days later. Here's the original application. Jake Malden is the home builder. He signed it. This is under the driller information section. And then they sent us back, you know, with this is the owner's signature. So early this month, I think Sarah, were you the one out there that found this? No, you went out there in a second. Dawson found it. Looking at a well nearby, going out the field to verify it, noticed that this well was drilled quite a ways away from where it's supposed to be. You can see 144 feet away from the approved location. There was some question about the property line. Fortunately, Sarah met the builder out there and they measured it was 50.1 feet. So it just barely 50 feet from the property line. So that's good. They aren't going to have to plug the well. But when Sarah was speaking with the builder, she noted that the builder had informed her that he had a friend that had a rig and that the owner was on site. Is that what he said? But he didn't indicate that the owner actually was the one drilling the well, I don't think. Did he?
He said that the guy showed them how to drill the well by running the rig, and he said just as long as they're on site for it.
Right. So I'm not going to get into that. I was hoping, and again, I don't know if anybody involved, I don't think they are online. My question is I'm not going to say some nickname for somebody in Wise County with a rig that's drilling wells without a license. I think it's could be the same person. I'd like to know who it is. because I'd like to tell TDLR, because, right, I mean, you know, there's a good reason you're supposed to have a license to do this. Anyway, it is District Rule 4.2C states that a well has to be drilled within 30 feet of the approved location. This well is drilled 144 feet away. It's still 50 feet off property line, so no major penalty, but I would like to assess a small $250 penalty for drilling it that far away from the approved location and give them a requirement to enter into a monitoring well agreement with us so we measure water levels in the well. I really was hoping they'd be here so they could give us some information on who this friend with the rig is, but it is what it is.
Reading through the packet, you had an alternative.
I did. I'd mentioned that, you know, I was hopeful that somebody would be here and they would kind of, you know, be a little bit forthcoming with who this person is with the rig so we could reach out to them and make sure that, you know, things are being done properly in accordance with TDLR rules and district rules. And I mentioned there that if they weren't, then we might consider a steeper penalty.
Talk to Brian about those alternates and if there's any repercussions or potential repercussions from having alternates like that.
For having, what do you mean having alternates?
One option was information's provided and we have one penalty.
Right, right.
Another alternate is we don't have information and there's a different, steeper penalty.
Right, right.
I'm interested in pursuing that, but I'd like to know if Brian is concerned about any recourse against the district.
He should be online.
He's on. Brian's on.
Yeah, I think that's fine. We're just offering, you're giving the general manager settlement authority, and I think you can give him two options if you want.
Okay.
Can we inspect that well to make sure that
yes.
all the other things were supposed yes. to be done right?
Yes. Did you didn't dig down, did you? Yeah, we should probably go. We'll go back and check completion standards. So what it's real easy to check, Don. You know, a water well is supposed to be cemented. It's got the surface sleeve. You know, you see the steel, you know, casing that comes out of the ground. It's supposed to have cement around that down to 10 feet, correct? If they don't do that, you can take a sharpshooter shovel and dig down next to it. And fairly regularly, you find that cement only goes down a little ways and you hit that pea gravel. So we can go do a check on that. It's pretty easy to do a surface completion check.
Let's make sure that well is properly completed since we do not have a licensed driller that drilled it.
Right.
And I was going to suggest that for the other rash of self-drilled wells, probably need to do site investigation on each one.
Right. And I think Jacob's been out the one, so we will. And one of the things, I've got a running list of things that – and this is something I want to talk to Brian about whenever we do have to open up rules. And I think we're going to have to later this year because, some legislation passed that's going to have to require us to add some stuff to our rules. One of the things I'd like to consider if Brian thinks it's above board is if it is a self-drilled well, if we could require notice so we could be on site to verify that it's actually the owner drilling the well. But that's something I'd like to consider and talk about when we do open rules up. Yes, Burke.
What's your definition of actively involved?
Kyle?
Whenever I spoke with Adam with TDLR, he stated that the driller is the person who is actively, like, on the rig, controlling the rig.
But Kyle, is there a definition? Typically, you know, when you have a phrase like that, it's defined. Because, they're trying to circumvent
right.
what we're doing here.
Right.
And I find it hard to believe that any of us, except maybe for a gifted one or two on this board, could actively be involved in a true sense in drilling wells on our property.
Well, also, along those same lines, wonder how often if the licensed driller is actually actively involved in drilling the
right.
well. And most of the time, apprentices.
The active driller can have an apprentice, and they just have to be on site or within 2 hours if they have an apprentice away.
What is the benefit from this financially, I assume?
Cheaper.
But any other benefit?
I think it's probably down to cost.
Money, no.
Risk, there's considerable risk to they're not probably not aware of.
They're unaware of those.
Yeah. I also have a concern. This is private property.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to make sure our staff
if they're going to go check the well, whatever's necessary needs to be done. There's no reason to have somebody with a shotgun out saying, "What are you on my property for?"
Right. And you're pointing out our day to day, something we deal with on a day to day
basis. Well, there's certain individuals that are not going to care because they have the word Upper Trinity and they know what it is and so forth. But when you're a little on the gray area, then the Upper Trinity becomes a sheriff.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, I'm not kidding. That's every single day of this job. That is what field staff has to worry about.
I think this could be
potentially
this could be a little bit more concerning for me. I don't want to be on the board to say, "I want you to go down and check the well," and something happens. I want them to say, "Go down and check the well, but be safe."
Yeah.
And I believe, because this came up, correct me, this came up early in our existence when we first started in 2009. And basically the instructions to staff were back out and we call the sheriff, we take a deputy in.
Right.
We have legal authority to go in and do this.
Right. As long as we notify, I think 36 says, as long as you give notification and you're properly
identified,
then you can go on the private property.
I don't recall that we had to do that. I know we had early on our first field tech was escorted off property.
Yeah.
An armed property owner.
Yes.
Some conversations. I remember that happening, but I think a couple of phone calls took care of that.
Yeah. They know they're be safe. I tell them if situation's not safe, leave.
Just leave. The well's not going anywhere. It'll still be there.
It's usually Blaine that gets yelled at and chased down.
And the only other thing that I say about this is that we have to change the rules that state that every self drill well must be inspected. If it's not written in our rules, we need to put that in the rules.
Yeah. I'm
not worried about a legal driller. They know the rules and regs.
I think we would consider even putting language in our rules that say if it's a self-drilled well, then we need notification ahead of time so that we can be on site to verify the owner is actually drilling the well.
We have enough field techs, so I think we can do
that. Let's put that to the rules committee to whatever to set up something. Yeah.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Huh?
The general manager and his assistant have been instructed a long time ago to keep a running list of what we need to tweak.
Yeah, Kyle's got sticky notes.
So, and I was looking at Kyle. I was thinking he was the one we delegated to when I first said that. So,
yeah.
You want to take a shot at making the motion?
We discuss it just a moment longer. I think we have a couple options before us. One, we could ask staff to reach out to this individual and ask them to be at the next meeting, and we could handle it then with a knowledge and express to them that this could go one of two ways. If you want to talk to us about how this came about, one penalty may be brought down, and if not, another penalty will be brought down.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can give him the authority now. That's where I would go, is if information is forthcoming, then you can proceed with this penalty. If it's not forthcoming, then we'll use the steeper penalty that's provided in the meeting board packet.
Let me see if I can summarize what you're suggesting. Contingent upon the landowner and or home builder providing information to the general manager's satisfaction of whom actually operated the rig to drill the well and whose rig it was, that first, if we find a finding on a first major violation and a $250 penalty associated with the first major violation and a requirement to enter into an agreement with the district for the ongoing measurement of water levels in the well. If they are unable or unwilling to provide that, then the max first penalty is $1,000, and that will be the offer.
That's what I said.
Is that what you said?
Could I make an amendment to that?
You definitely can, because you're the one that knows how to write these things.
No, I don't either. But it seems to me like they should have a burden of proof. And as y'all know, there's various burdens of proof. But, I'm really bothered that this is a way to circumvent the safe drilling of wells to accomplish what our mission statement says.
Right.
With that said, it seems to me like they should have a burden of preponderance of the evidence, clear and convincing evidence, whatever you want to call it, where they have to show that the driller, the owner, is actively involved. I don't know what that term means, but.
Well, I don't know that that impacts this matter today. I think it would be something we need to move forward with, but I don't know that it impacts.
I think giving to the general manager's satisfaction.
I think you ought to put the burden. I mean, he's got the burden now. Let the burden be on them to get him satisfied. Why are we doing it when we smell something that's not right here?
I think the motion.
How would you go about doing that?
Well, the motion, I think Shannon's motion, if I remember correctly, said that it should be at his satisfaction. I think that it should be that the individual that's drilling this well has a burden by the preponderance of evidence, which is 51%, to show that the driller, the owner, was actively involved, or whatever the terminology is in the statute that it has escaped me, and make them in that way, if they haven't, I mean, you're telling our employees to go out there and make sure they're actively involved. I'm saying no. They ought to have the burden to show that they're actively involved.
But that's not this case.
This violation is just for.
I mean, this is already done. You know,
this is a drilled well.
What you're talking about is future wells, I think.
I thought that's what we're talking about. Okay.
So we're talking about Mr. Okay. We're talking about Mr.
Past tense. This is already happening. Okay. So I think what I phrase, and Ann will have to reconstruct. Thank you, Ann. Will accomplish that part. I'm wondering if you can make, it's a little bit of a sidebar here. If you can't change our forms, that if it's self-drilled, they've got to provide the name of who the owner of the rig is and their contact information. And can we do it in our form that they have to let us know so we can be on site?
Why don't you just have a supplement? If it's self-drilled, you have to fill out.
If I may, we got a motion on the table. If we put this to bed, then we can discuss.
Okay. We have in your motion, it doesn't say anything about making sure that the well was completed properly. I'm more concerned about it contaminating the water.
Say that's a separate item and would be a separate violation of the rules if they didn't do that. And once we've gone out and done a site visit.
So typically what we do as far as if we find a well that is not completed up to snuff, up to standards, we just report it to TDLR, let them deal with it because it's a violation of their rules. It's usually
the bigger stick.
Yeah. I mean, it's a state agency.
It also should be a violation for us too. But the point is, you may be right. It may be a separate motion, but if we've got a well that's getting ready to contaminate, We've got other issues too that we need to address.
Well,
we've got to do your motion first, then we'll work.
We don't look at it this way, Don. We don't know that it's not completed correctly, and we don't need board action for staff to go check. So we're going to go check. We are. So
if it's an issue, we'll be back.
Right.
Okay.
All next week.
Right. And then the future issues, I think, you know, I've brought that up and I don't know that we can discuss that much further under this item, but I think that's for future discussion. We're going to have to open rules up because of legislation that's passed this past session that's going to require us to amend our rules anyway.
Anything that goes into effect September 1?
I will ask Brian under his report.
Because if so, we've got to do that quickly.
Right. I don't think so.
But what's on the table right now is just spacing issues.
What's on the table right now is, yes, they drilled the well 144 feet from the approved location. Rules require 30 feet. First violation for failure to meet that rule, $250 violation. If, as they provide information to me that's that I feel comfortable about with who actually drilled the well. If they don't, then it's the full $1,000 penalty for the first violation, which is the maximum amount for a first violation.
I believe Director May made that motion, correct?
I did.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Berkeley. Any further discussion?
And I've got language in my middle.
Do what, Jared?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, I'm sorry. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And again, I don't think we have to tell staff to go check, but I think they've already got this on their radar, and they're probably, while they're in the neighborhood, they're going to check stuff.
Right.
So now on a completely different matter, what about these self-drilled wells? Again, what are the thoughts?
Let's pick that up under administrative.
Right.
I feel more comfortable under administrative.
Okay.
Yep.
But I'm not dropping it. I'm just.
Yeah. Let's get to the right place in the agenda so we can talk about it.
Okay. Item 7B, system ID 021H, well IDs 15353 and 15354 in Hood County, owned by Crescent Real Estate LLC. Doug?
Yes, sir. So any of y'all, Bob, Jared, y'all are down that part of the world. Jared knows this one quite well. This is the lumber treatment facility there in north of Crescent on 171. I'm sure you've seen it if you've driven up 171. It's quite large and quite active. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we approved their well. They drilled it last year. Apparently, it only went into production in June for treating. They got two wells on the property, the new well, 15354, and the old well, 15353. Both wells under district rules are required to have meters on them. I'm just kind of summarizing this. They submitted their reports to us, which only included a small volume for 15354, nothing for 15353. Staff went out because it's new wells, as is pretty normal operating procedure. We regularly go out and check the meters on wells, so we have a picture of them. For the main reason, a lot of folks, I mean, let's just be honest, they don't know how to read a meter. There'll be fixed zeros or rolling numbers at the end that they assume are decimals, and a lot of times that rolling number is a 1 or a 2 or a 10 or a 20. So they underreport a lot. So we'd like to have pictures of meters so we know when they submit their meter readings, we know that it's actually accurate. Went out to get pictures of the meters and found that neither of the two wells had meters on them. They had used the tools that they use to treat the lumber to estimate the water used from the new well for treatment. I have reason to believe that's very accurate based on conversations with them. I think it's very accurate. But any water produced out of the other well, we don't know. So anything for the facilities, restrooms, stuff like that, wherever that water comes from, we have no idea how much was used for that. Honestly, I don't know where water came from for construction or anything else they may have used during that time. But that's neither here nor there. Well, it is. So again, Rule 8.1 states that all wells that are required to have a meter must have a meter. Neither one of these had a meter. We have contacted them, and let them know. And I believe they've already, I know the other day when I talked to you, you said they had one and they're working on the other, but I think they've already got meters on both of them. So it's great that they're, you know, proactive and got that done. But that being said, it is still a violation of district rules to not have those meters on, because we still don't really know how much water came out of those wellheads, this year, or really since that second well was drilled. So my recommendation is a motion to offer Crescent Real Estate LLC a settlement offer, first major violation of district rules for failure to timely meter a well when required, and a $500 penalty for each of the wells that they failed to install a meter on. That's $1,000 total, and a requirement to submit an accurate groundwater production estimates to my satisfaction of all water produced from both wells since well 15354 was drilled and completed. Because that's the big kicker, is, you know, how much water was actually produced from those wells, because we don't know. So hopefully they can come up with an estimate.
Question. Both of them are metered now, so the SA2 numbers will give us an idea
of
what's happening.
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
Can we, at that point, revisit the SA1?
We could wait. We could just simply do the first part of my recommendation and say, you know, fulfill the second part of it, the estimate, at the end of the year when we know what they produce for the second half, and we can just assume that that's how much they produce for the first half.
The 30th of 2023.
Right.
I would be a lot more comfortable with that.
Okay.
I think we'll get closer to a true number.
We'll have to make note, Kyle, so we don't forget.
You guys see any problems doing that?
No, I don't. It's not going to be – it's going to be bathrooms, facilities, so it's not going to be a significant volume.
Well, it's just to make sure they aren't hooking water tank trucks up to it.
Right.
Type thing.
Right.
I mean, that'd be something like that right. Would be skew it.
Yep. I have no problem with that.
I have one other – my standard question about time to pay the fine.
So I would say, I think I usually give folks at least 30 full days from when I send it out. Usually I make it like the end of next month to get the fines paid.
Nothing typically you do.
That should just be needed to be noted that a time limit had been.
Yeah, that's what I usually
be discussed.
Right, that's what I usually do. That's what I usually
do. I just want to make sure that's in there.
Yeah, I do it every, because I always like, I'll write a letter,
yeah,
and we'll send it to them. And I always give them a deadline.
As I said, I don't care how whatever, just as long as you've got it in.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Any other questions? Heard the general manager's recommendation with the let's hold an abeyance on the calculation of fees till the end of the year. They want to make a motion?
I'll do it.
Director, motion by Director Luss. Do I hear a second? I'll make a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
I'm abstaining.
Okay. Man, did you get that? Are you going to need to sign a form?
No.
No, I did not see 10.
Okay.
So it's just a client.
Okay. That's fine. Item eight is general manager's report of delinquent customers, education outreach activities, report on injection well applications, registration and groundwater production reports. And Jenny informed me that she tried to quit because one driller walked in 42 this week. Yeah. And Doug refused to let her do it.
Couldn't go anywhere.
So the numbers look like they're going back this way a little bit. Now, what you were wanting to talk about, Shannon, under administrative.
I think, you know, with that, what does staff think about changing our forms so that self-drillers have that, or is this something that needs to be discussed and brought back up next month?
I'll talk to Brian. So forms application stuff don't take, you know, board action. I'll talk to Brian and see if he thinks it's reasonable to ask if somebody's going to self-drill a well, if, you know, they can provide us with information about, you know, whose rig is it, that kind of stuff.
How often does this happen?
It was very, very rare up until about 6 months ago. And I would say we're getting like two or three a month.
We received one fairly recently.
Yeah. 5%. Right now we're getting 100, we're going to have like 130, 140. Well, we have 150 this month. Yeah. It's small, but it's still, they were like, you know, maybe one a year up until then. Right.
There's a possibility there may be an individual who's hiring himself out as a.
Right. And so there's one of the drilling companies that Jenny talks to a lot had told Jenny of a person in Wise County that folks know about and is drilling wells without a license. And I just have a feeling that it's probably this person that they're.
Which is why I'm hoping if we can administratively include, make that a requirement, they provide that information. And if we can make a requirement that we have staff on hand. So we witness the owner actively drilling.
Right.
So they can meet TDLR requirements, so they don't slap our wrist because we didn't catch it.
Right. Well, TDLR requirements are also, I mean, our rules. Yeah. We have a language in there. If it's a violation of TDLR rules, it's a violation of our rules too, something like that.
If we can do that, maybe that'll help
either put the bed to the supposition or approve it, one of the two.
Right.
But I don't know that we can do, if we have that on the form and they notify us the day after it got drilled, we didn't find out, they didn't notify us and the well's drilled.
Well, that becomes a violation, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Well,
it's not in the rules. That's why I want to put it in the rules if we can.
The thing we could do at that point is go out and inspect the well and ensure that it is drilled.
Properly completed.
And if it's not properly completed, either turn them over to TDLR or turn them over to TDLR.
And bring it here.
And have board action because it was not, didn't follow the rules that are
in place. Right. Yeah, no, I think if it's going to keep becoming more prevalent, then it's something we're going to need to figure out how to deal with.
Repercussions on homeowners for this well driller and his actions, that will probably eventually stop.
Yeah.
Well, if the well's not properly completed, there's going to be repercussions on the homeowner.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is if half of his clients are having a bad day because of him. That's probably going to stop one way or another.
Well, and you're actually talking about what we've long suspected is a potential problem all the way across the district. We're not there when everybody completes these wells.
Right.
We don't know if they're just emptying two sacks of sacrete and sprinkling some water and walking away.
Yeah.
Or if they actually do 10 feet of worth of cement.
Yeah.
We don't have the staff be checking all these wells. There are some districts who I bet do.
Well, they're only drilling, five to ten wells a month. Yeah.
So, and they only review applications once every quarter.
Right.
And yeah.
Right.
They're just not. Yeah. There are those places.
There are.
Anything else under administrative?
No. I wrote some stuff up in there. If y'all didn't get a chance to read it, you may want to take it up. There's going to be an item that'll probably be on the board on the agenda next month for a violation.
And I've
basically asked, somebody thumbing their nose at us.
I've asked staff to check that one particular. If you haven't read his management letter,
go find the
italicized three paragraphs. I've asked staff is in their roundabouts every day to go see if they're operating that well.
Yep.
Each and every day is a separate and distinct violation.
Right.
Potentially.
Right.
At our discretion.
Right. And the fourth violation is what? $10,000 and litigation.
Yeah. So.
So.
Doug, have we ever had a talk about the monitoring well?
That's what I was about to bring up. So, yes. And I'm going to ask for some action under this item. So the monitor well we drilled down on the river, it was 1100 foot. Didn't look like much at the time. It pushed water all the way up to almost the surface before we got a pump down in it. I mean, it's basically an artesian well. Pumped it all the way down to the pump. And then it was like a half gallon a minute. Water's come back up. We finally got the test results back. Blaine's not here. Kyle's looked at them. Jill's looked at them. And it's bad. The water's bad. I mean, TDS is like, what do we say yesterday? 37,000. Benzene's like 3,400. So we just need to plug the well. My concern is now that the fact that it's got so much pressure on it, and if it does flow to the surface, it turns into an environmental issue. And we just need to plug the well. I've got a quote from Associated for, what was it, $10,000 to plug the well. So my recommendation would be to authorize a general manager to expend funds to have the well plugged.
Will we take that from our...
Yeah, monitor well plugging. Yeah. Our monitor well drilling fund.
We pretty well depleted that line item. So you'll have to come back next month.
And amend it again. Correct. Correct.
That'll be on
next month.
Chair needs a motion to authorize the general manager to go ahead and have the well plugged, and we'll take care of moving the money around next month.
So move.
We've got a motion by Berkeley and a second by Nate.
He can have it, sir.
He can have it first and then you're second. Okay. And flip a coin, whichever one you want for first and second. How's that?
I will be checking the minutes, though.
Yeah, because Watt wasn't here. He doesn't know.
Right. Other than that, on – oh, you didn't take – y'all take a vote? Sorry.
No, I haven't. Any further discussion?
I do have one thing.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Prior to plugging it, what's the closest injection well to that?
So we looked at it so here's the thing. Before we drilled it, we looked at all the injection wells, and they're all several hundred feet deeper. There's a clear confining layer between the top of where those injection intervals are supposed to be and the sands we were going after. Either those injection wells aren't injecting in where they're saying they are, or there's some compromise in the casing or something. I mean, Jared, feel free, my friend.
All right. At 37,000, that's not what you find in this drawing.
Right.
So that is, I imagine if you did an isotopic analysis on anything that was in there, you would find that it is not from the upper strawn, maybe from the lower strawn, and high concentrations of benzene in that level, you've got an injection well hitting you somewhere.
Right. Right.
I would bet my house on it.
Right. I would too.
That's my question, is prior to losing the ability to watch that, is there any methodology to identify which injection well is causing the problem?
Well, you could, like I say, you go back and do isotopic analysis and figure out what's actually in it, and then figure out what formation it come into and who's hauling out of what. I mean, it'd literally be a too long year investigation to make an educated guess.
Right.
Or you just see which well is closest.
Right.
Well, my question, I guess, lay standpoint here, is the injection well, or is an injection well in close proximity creating that 500 PSI? Or is that naturally occurring?
Who knows?
You know, that's a legitimate question.
That is a very legitimate question.
So, because when that thing was pumped, it pumped in a straight line. It did not have a logarithmic drawdown.
Right.
And so it was pressured not by – it was pressured from some – it didn't behave like a normal well. Let's put it that way.
And before we lose the ability to use that to gain data, can we isolate that anyway before we plug it to find out which well is contributing to that and take action there?
Can we put pressure on the top and hold it so it doesn't come to the surface while we wait?
Can we put off plugging that for a little while?
I sure can.
Well, it's sealed off. It's not posing a danger.
We need to get it sealed off. Right now it's got a cap on it, but it's not welded on.
Well, I'm talking about contamination-wise.
Right. That's what I want to make sure before we do anything else. We'll need to get a nice –
physically plug it.
Yeah.
Removable plug.
Right. Right. We need to get it sealed properly so that we're not having to worry about a contamination issue.
How do we complete that well casing? Have we protected any other water strata above?
Yes. It was cemented, pumped.
All the way down?
All the way down to 1,050 feet, 1,050.
That was my next following. I'm hearing what Brent's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm thinking of this, you may remember we had a landowner outside of Bowie that turned on his faucet and ignited it. And before we could get over there to pull the water sample from the injection well, they plugged it nearby. Because we're going to pull samples from both places, do what Jerry was talking about, the scientific analysis.
I think, you know, you could just authorize me to expend funds to temporarily seal the well, plug the well, and for any analysis that we do, I've got money in our monitoring well line item already there. So for any testing, so I would just need additional. So just authorize me to expend funds to temporarily seal the well and then to permanently plug the well once we're done with it. And then I'll work with Jared and Tim and some of the other guys, experts in that field, see what we need to look at and before we permanently
close it. It would probably behoove us if we are able to identify where it's coming from.
Right.
Before we move forward, what does it take to get an isotropic study?
So that's done in a lab, and that's assuming that there's all I know is there's benzene.
Right.
And so any time you have different, like if you have different formations, hydrocarbons that are produced from different formations have a have different isotopes that are produced in those formations that are specific to those formations. And so you can go back and you can send it to Midland. There's a lab in Midland that does it. And they can look and see what those distributions look like and match it to other known
characteristics
in the area, assuming that there is some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking out loud, this was the method used in the Range Resources case,
right,
when they were saying that it was fracking into the aquifer, but it was actually, it wasn't Barnett gas that was coming in there. They could take the gas and look at the isotopic analysis and see that it was strong.
Right.
So, but, you know, you can look at it, see if it matches strong. You can look at it and see if it matches something else, Marble Falls or Barnett, Ellenberger, whatever, and see and make an educated guess at it.
Right.
What sands did we drill into?
It's strong.
Yeah.
It's the upper portion. Above it? It's basically, you've got some Cretaceous at the surface, I'm guessing, out there. And then you're going to get into the Paleozoic age, the strong, pretty quick below surface. I mean, it's
several hundred feet.
Right. You've got some superficial Cretaceous stuff, but that's it.
There are going to be sand layers with lenses of shaley clay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laid down.
Yeah. There was, yeah.
Semi-confining. I can't answer it. It's geology is a fickle critter.
Right.
The request is to authorize the general manager to prevent damage, but allow us the flexibility to be able to go back in to try to determine where this is coming from.
Make sure that the well is
expend funds necessary to mitigate damage and to do any testing necessary.
But I've just been thinking about this for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more.
Yeah, I could have said some stuff that might not line up with, because I have to learn.
Right.
I change my opinions as I learn more.
Well, you haven't seen the logs
you?
Or anything
no.
else. I mean,
no, yeah. Not at all.
So, do I hear such a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Director Micah, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Director Wilson, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Quick update on regional water planning and populations. Doug told me before the meeting that Region C, which is the Metroplex and includes Wise and Parker County, adjusted population projections for those two counties, one of which is a significant change.
Both the Wise and Parker are both significant. So states projections came in really low. Fortunately, Friesen Nichols is the lead consultant for that region. You know, the folks that we hired to do a study, they basically just took the numbers that they developed for our studies and put those in. That's what Region C accepted and is sending to the Water Development Board.
Region B has submitted, they adopted theirs at their last meeting. They've heard back from TWDB. Been asked for documentation. That email went out last night. It's working its way through the bureaucracy. That's about all I can say on it. It will not surprise me that if one or all three counties were having to go to Austin to fight the fight. So, in any case, it was not a very good census, and that's what they based their numbers off of. And they've underestimated badly. So, in any case, just want to keep you guys aware that there may be an expenditure there at some point. So you can ring me in if you need to.
What is Hood County?
Hood County's numbers, what Doug told me, actually were not that bad.
What region is?
G.
G.
They're in G.
Hood County's Montague's in Region B, Wise and Parker's. And think of it this way. They separate regional water planning groups into river basins. So Region B is the Red River Basin. Region C is the Trinity River Basin. And Region G is the Brazos River Basin. Hood County's weren't that bad. Hood County's numbers were pretty close to accurate.
Yeah.
But Wise and Parker, I mean, Parker is one of the faster growing counties in the nation right now. I think it's the second fastest growing county in the state, or third.
They actually projected Montague County going down about 2,000 in 50 years, dropping about 2,000.
Yeah.
And we're drilling 130 to 140 new domestic wells a year up there.
Yeah.
At three people per household, that's 4,000 people every decade. So, yeah, that. Well, we're issuing that many permits, and that's not necessarily all of them getting drilled in the time period. They have to keep coming back on our extensions. So, anything else on management? I don't believe
nope.
So.
As you mentioned earlier, applications have picked back up a little bit, mainly because we got one driller came in from application from a developer with 42 applications at once. But yeah, it's picked back up a little bit.
And Doug doesn't want to have to do any more interviews, so he told him he couldn't.
We want to discuss the phone call I received, Doug.
Sure.
I received a phone call from a representative of Glenn Rogers. Obviously, the Parker, Stevens, Palo Pinto County Water District didn't pass at the legislature this year. Glenn Rogers is working on a water symposium
mm-hmm.
in Palo Pinto coming up next month.
Yeah.
And they requested some assistance in putting that on.
Sponsorship.
Moving forward with it, they're looking at some 200 individuals with water knowledge. I put in my 2 cents about meaning to consider including Wise County in that and do more where we can see the proposed law ahead of time so more entities can provide resolutions and support if they so choose, having the bill in hand beforehand. Further out then, here it is. Can you guys vote on it tonight?
Yeah.
Right.
Part of it, the bill was well into the legislative session before.
Right.
Well, and Doug's aware of this. I had a phone call from Senator Springer as that bill was coming up, and he had some concerns. And he asked the question, what about Wise County? And I said, we've completed a study that says Wise County's got to have another source of water or the ability to get bulk water from the few entities that have water.
Right.
And so it falls in line with
what. And so I think what Shannon, let me step in and see, you know, he's putting on this symposium, and just like with any symposium or, you know, they require sponsors, and we're looking into, I mean, it's within my spending allotment, and it's money, and we have money in the budget, but I'm going to sign up for a sponsorship for the district. So
we have need in Western Parker and
right.
Wise County.
Right. And the symposium is Parker, Palo Pinto, Stevens is what he's basing it on, but it's, but we're just going to have a sponsorship in there. So.
Good.
Yep. And I've got it on my calendar. So, and I'll.
You got a date yet?
So, no, I'll look. I told Shannon I would, but yeah, I'll send it out to you guys if you are interested.
Item 9, which is review line item expenditures and budget amendment, Doug.
Yes. I didn't put that on this. This is misnumbered. Yes. We have one budget amendment, and what was it?
$1,000 from
equipment repair maintenance to general liability property coverage.
There you go. And the general liability is one time. It's just we underestimated this year. So my approvals are my recommendations, approval of the amendment.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. General Counsel's report, Brian.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll start out by tackling Doug's question on the enforcement issue and a future rules issue. I think we clearly have the power to adopt regulations or rules for folks that are drilling wells on their own property. While you were going through that, I was looking through both the statute and the rules for the water well drillers rules. And I can't even find in there, Doug, where you have an exemption for the driller's license for drilling on your own property. The only exemption, although we've always said that, that it exists, and maybe it's there and I just missed it, but there's an exemption for installing pumps and equipment in a well on your own property, but I don't see the other one. But anyway, if there is such an exemption, it's only an exemption from obtaining a license under Chapter 1901 of the Occupations Code. So it's not an exemption from Groundwater Conservation District rules. So I think you'll have some latitude in what you require and whether you want to be out there and inspect the drilling, et cetera, and so forth. We've got at least three new laws. As Doug mentioned, we're going to have to do some rulemaking amendments anyway. We've got at least three laws that passed that will require us to amend our rules. And there was one other bill that passed that will affect the DFC procedures just mildly. That was one of our TWCA consensus bills. There were some bills, I think, that require us to monitor rulemakings at the TCQ and the Railroad Commission. One is the moving of the geothermal well program from the TCQ to the Railroad Commission. We haven't typically had an issue with those, but we will want to make sure what the Railroad Commission is doing on those. And the other one's a brine mining one. We'll want to make sure that, it's not confused with brackish groundwater and the terminology that they use. A bigger one is at the TCEQ. There was a bill that passed House Bill 4856 that allows injection well into freshwater aquifers of quote unquote recycled oil and gas waste. Mm-hmm. I've already visited with the TCEQ division director who will be handling that rulemaking. They're not sure exactly how to handle it yet, but I told them we were interested in monitoring that and providing assistance to them if we could, because that's a big change, and we're seeing this all across the state as the Railroad Commission continues to turn the screws on oil and gas companies for injection of produced water and other oil and gas waste. There's this big movement, whether it's produced water consortium bills we've had the last couple of sessions, or otherwise, this bill here, to figure out what they can do with their produced water and related wastes, by trying to clean it up to a degree that, it can be disposed of in a way that has not been disposed of historically. And so one of the things that TCEQ is dealing with is a lot of questions related to the discharge of recycled oil and gas waste into surface water bodies. Federally, that's allowed anywhere west of the 98th meridian. And I'm not sure where the 98th meridian goes through the district, but it's typically along I-35, I think. East of
No, it's like bare, like way out in West Montague. Yeah, it's way out the very, very.
It's about Ringgold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, way out in the very, very western edge of the district. There's 98th Meridian.
So that may not be as big of an issue for you, but just for your information, TCEQ's struggling with what to do with that. One of the reasons they're struggling is because that's never happened before. They don't really have rules. The waste profile doesn't fit your typical waste profile for a wastewater treatment plant or something like that. So they're going to require individual permits. They've also lost a lot of staff in their water quality division. The guy that's heading up that effort, they brought out of retirement just to head that effort up. But then you also have this other one that is east or west of the 98th Meridian that would allow it to be cleaned and injected into your freshwater aquifer. So with all of our UIC work, we're obviously going to want to pay attention to that deal.
Brian, real quickly on that, can they clean it up to the same standard they use with ASR?
Well, the bill was very silent on what, or not, it wasn't silent. It just said if it met TCEQ standards for discharge, but it didn't prescribe it or cross-reference any other standards. So you'll recall that the ASR bill passed in 2015, which was a basic non-degradation standard of it can't degrade the water such that it's injurious to human health or animal life or vegetation, or that would substantially increase the cost of treatment, which is a big change. You know, you can have some, you might have a little bit higher TDS or something. It just can't substantially change the cost of treatment. Then last session, I think it was last session, either last session or two sessions ago, we had the managed aquifer recharge bill that was kind of modeled after the ASR bill, but this was a bill that was just designed to allow folks to inject water for recharge purposes without a desire or authorization to recover that water like you would in ASR, managed aquifer recharge. And so I think the TCEQ is approaching this new bill on injection of recycled oil and gas waste under the managed aquifer recharge framework. And I do believe that the water quality standards under that are pretty similar to the ASR standards we adopted in 2015. I just don't know that off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that's what we patterned it after. But, you know, it's just there's a whole lot of companies competing with different technologies to try to economically clean up those waste streams so that they can get the contracts with the big oil and gas companies, but there's just no precedent out there. Again, TCEQ's never issued a permit for either one of these, and I'm not sure EPA has either in other states. So I'm not familiar with every state, but it's certainly a new thing in Texas. And TCEQ's going to be working closely with EPA on that as well, because they don't want to run afoul of their delegation under either the Clean Water Act for the surface water discharges or the Safe Drinking Water Act for the aquifer discharges and somehow risk our delegation of that program from the feds. So I've already assigned my legal assistant to keep monitoring and keep track of those agency rulemakings at both the Railroad Commission at TCEQ, and we'll keep you guys apprised of that. There were some Public Information Act bills that passed. Just changes some procedures if we get one, how long we have to respond. May require you guys to designate, one of them may require y'all to designate certain non-business days for, each local government can designate up to 10 non-business days, which might be Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever you want to pick. It's days that don't count on your deadlines to comply with Public Information Act request. So that might be an action item we need to address. Getting TikTok off of all your district issued computers, phones, anything like that. The legislature outlawed TikTok on government computers. I also got a call from Glenn Rogers on his water symposium. He asked me to come speak at that. So I'll see you guys there on that deal. The worst news we have lately is that we've had two announcements in the last couple of weeks. One, that Tracy King, chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee and the best friend in the legislature that groundwater districts have had in a long time, has announced that he's not seeking reelection. And then Four Price, state rep from Amarillo, who sits on the Natural Resources Committee and has been a good friend of groundwater conservation districts, made a similar announcement yesterday. Mm-hmm. And after you lose those two, the remaining institutional knowledge on water issues in the House of Representatives is getting pretty thin. So yep. You can expect that next session, some of the folks that knew that they couldn't get something past the House Natural Resources Committee because of its leadership will be aggressively pushing some of the bills we've seen in past sessions that didn't make it across the finish line. And that's all I have, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board have any questions of General Counsel? If not, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
I believe we're scheduled for our next meeting on August 17th, correct?
That's correct.
5:00 here. Obviously, if anybody has anything to put on the agenda, let Brian or myself know and we'll get it on there. I believe the agenda is already starting to stack up some, though, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how many permits we got. It shouldn't be that long.
We don't have Aqua Texas yet. Doug did tell me that 70% of our SAU reports are already in. Staff will obviously be taking a look to see if anybody's at risk of busting their permits again. There are some.
Yes. Yes.
Repeat offenders? Okay. I hope not, because that's going to get testy. Okay. If there's not anything else, I show we're adjourned at 6:21. Thank you, everyone. Yeah. See you next month. Okay.